You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
And here we are. This, what I love about Primavera Sound when we come here is regrouping with old friends. Friends, you're almost family. Confidence Man, Janet Planet is here, Sugar Bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's up?
Good to see you guys.
You're becoming mainstays at Primavera. This is like your third time playing a Primavera event, right? Here in Spain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like there's a theme around you now that's the number three, basically, because this is our third interview. You're promoting 3AM, your third album. So it's kind of everything is coming together. And I really want to see like your show now playing your new music. This is your third album, as I was saying. What have you learned from like, this is not your first time, so it's kind of you're a veteran now. What have you learned with 3AM?
You learn when to like really go for it and when to, you know, hold back a little bit. Sometimes you get it mixed up, but you do get slightly better at that.
Yeah, I think we've also kind of refined the set to like, you know, it's just all the best gimmicks mm-hmm. that we've kind of accumulated over the years, and now everything is like so tight.
Yeah,
well-oiled machine.
And it's all bangers. There's not a lull on 3AM, and you've just released recently 5AM with all those incredible remixes. Is there a way of you? Would you feel good incorporating remixes into the live show by your own band, or the arrangements of the remixes?
Definitely. Like we've kind of spoken about like the Orbital Far Out remix. That's probably one of my favorites on the record. And we actually spoke with them about either putting it in their set or in our set. So like there has been kind of conversations about that. But it's kind of hard to know who owns the song. Like they were like, shouldn't it go on your set? And we were like, shouldn't it go on yours? So
yeah. Everybody wants it.
yeah.
Actually, well, I do.
Yeah, no, we want it.
Well, I mean, obviously you can both play it and stuff. Yeah. But I always wonder, you know, when it's like, for instance, you know how that Magician's remix of Lake Elise, Follow Rivers became bigger than the original song? And when you go and see Lika Lee, you kind of feel disappointed that she doesn't do the remix.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why would she? You know, she did the original thing. Speaking of, you know, Orbital, a lot of 3AM and the remix album 5AM is an homage to British rave culture from the 90s. First of all, how young were you when British rave culture in the early 90s was happening? Were you aware of it? Were you looking at it through magazines or?
I was like 36, so I was deep in the thick of it.
I wasn't really alive yet.
Yeah.
But you know, I suppose that was the kind of thing is like coming at it, looking at it from like an Australian viewpoint where it's not really contextualized. We don't really have warehouse raves and all this kind of stuff. When we kind of were in the UK a lot, I think it kind of was really inspiring because we were hearing the sound that we'd never really kind of got accustomed to in Australia.
Yeah, so, like coming to it fresh with fresh ears and fresh ideas, I think was like really useful.
Yeah. But with all that, sorry, Mark, with all that landscape in Australia, there wasn't an illegal rave kind of scene, even in the underground at some point in time?
No, it's all just guys who want to go surfing and, you know, coffee.
And punching sharks to stay alive.
Right? Yeah, punching sharks and riding kangaroos, that's about it.
You escaped Australia and now you're being like living in London for a few years. How have you like adapted to the culture? How have you become a bit more British? Is your Australian humor like gone British, or what are the things that you think you have taken from British people?
I think we have like a lot of similarities with them already. Like I think our humor is really similar. But I don't know. I suppose like we just party probably a lot harder than we did back.
Yeah. We're slowly dying in London.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I know, like I say gaff now.
Come
round to my gaff.
Oh yeah.
I've never heard you say that.
No, I just like now I'm saying it.
Yeah.
It's
good.
It's starting now. And what is the gaff? I'm
that's like your home, your house.
Oh,
your flat.
Okay. No, yeah. I will say it too when I go to London.
But speaking of homes, you had to, when you left your home back in Australia, you also left something called the Fuck Bunker.
Yes.
What exactly was the Fuck Bunker? It was like, I understand it was like your little creative shed, or what was it? How do you miss it?
So deep in the lockdown of Melbourne, during the COVID times, we hadn't left the house for about 9 months. And, you know, you start going a bit crazy, you're missing the club. And we realized that if we just buy like $50 worth of like some lights, shitty smoke machine, chuck it in the corner of your shed out the back of your house. And yeah, just, you know, do some stuff, and then it pretty much feels like you're in a club.
Yeah, I mean, we even had like cardboard speakers, like massive fake speakers, and like a fake bouncer. Like we kind of went all over, like over the top with the production.
We had a lot of time on our hands.
Yeah, I mean, Sugar never even got in. The bouncer rejected him.
Yeah, no, I'm still waiting. But apparently, yeah, probably next time.
Next time you go back. For those who are watching the interview and now at, happening at Primavera Sound 2025, you're playing at Amazon Music Stage at 1:50 and you finish at 2:40, which is about in time for 3 a.m., which you say it's the magic hour. What do you think will happen after today? Will new music come after the magic day that's going to happen? Maybe not. Do you have expectations about today?
Oh, I feel like it's going to be a big one for us. Like, you know, the clash with LCD isn't great, but I think if you want to have more fun, you'd probably come to us. You know, we're going to take our clothes off a few times.
Yeah, yeah, they don't take their clothes off.
No.
And so, yeah.
Definitely, they don't have Rob Sinclair, who designed your set for this tour, who worked for Madonna in the Celebration Tour, for those who don't know. So that must be incredible. I don't know if LCD Sound System have that, so that's on, you're winning on that too. Was it your idea, Janet, to have him? Because I think you already said that on some other interviews that you really admire like Madonna's tours and stuff, like you take inspiration on that, and now you're like kind of connected.
Yeah, I mean, that was a shock because like I didn't think he'd do it because, you know, we're obviously like not Madonna. But I think it was a passion project for him, and it was a collaboration between him and Braulio Armato, like the design of like, because like they're silver spikes and they're like inflatables. And so that was really cool, like seeing those two artists kind of come together on it.
And you as well.
Yeah, well, I did do the initial terrible sketch.
It's no one's allowed to. It's beautiful. It's like, it looks like, I don't know, like two dead bodies on a rectangle of pointy things.
Yeah, no, but it was really cool because like I didn't see how it was kind of going to come together, and then he had all these amazing ideas. So you can really see, you know, how he kind of got the Madonna job.
Yeah, yeah. He knows stuff.
You're kind of known for crazy ideas, apart from Rob Sinclair. But your ideas are kind of crazy because I also read in an interview that you wanted to like throw all your fee in cash to the audience. Sometimes they wouldn't allow that to happen. But I want to know what other crazy ideas are on your notes that you couldn't do, or maybe you will do in the future sometime.
Well, I had one for set design, which didn't come through this time, but I wanted to put like the two Veil Boys on like risers kind of made out of jelly. And I had an idea where they were going to flop from one side to the other. But then, turns out
it's hard to play drums on something like that.
Yeah, we did kind of test the idea, well, like springs, and they refused to do it.
So. Yeah. That was a hard no. We've also like, we've thrown around a lot of ideas based on like live animals.
Oh
stage.
No!
Oh, which but yeah, like
you
a lot
would,
of people
like,
that
lose
aren't into
all
that.
Your audience.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, it's a horrible idea. But I mean, that's
well, I mean, actually, you weren't talking about live. He wants to do a pantomime horse. That's never going to happen.
I still think just like one of the best entries onto a stage would be us in a pantomime horse.
Yeah, like
I
the
buy
fake
that
one.
Obviously, she's the ass and I'm the front. And
yeah.
We come through and then it just all falls apart and we bust out and yeah, do something.
I think
cool.
That's an incredible idea. Yeah. I really support your side.
You shouldn't support that. You want me to look uncool?
It would be very catchy. Catalan approved, because in Catalonia there's traditions of the gigants and like doing paper mache kind of animals, no? The
yeah,
diabla.
There's crazy stuff happening in Catalan culture. So we can give you ideas if you want to like
the human towers, the human towers.
Send through some references.
Yes. Yeah, incorporate. Speaking of crazy ideas, you were just saying that you had the idea of maybe throwing money away into the audience. And it's curious because I imagine is this a nod to the KLF, who not only have you homaged by sampling or doing, you know, the chant from 3 a.m. And you've worked with Jimmy Corti on an immersive experience. Tell us a little bit more about that collaboration. How did that come about?
Well, he just came to a show of ours in London. I think it was like the first show he'd been to in 25 years.
Wow.
And apparently he was like staying there and he's like, oh yeah, like they're good. And then apparently halfway through the set, he's like, they're really good. And by the end he was like, I'm like their biggest fan. So I think like then from then on, he kind of mentored us a bit through the album and kind of like, you know, we knew we were going to do something together. We just didn't really know what. So that immersive experience was kind of like led by him. It was like pretty bizarre. Like we kind of rocked off and there was like 20 actors, all doctors, and he had like built this machine that like was like a defibrillator.
Based defibrillator.
Yeah, and we had to like shock people and kind of bring them back to life. And like it was pretty intense. Like.
Yeah, which you'd expect nothing less really with Jimmy Cardi. But yeah, like we've had just like nice chats with him about like ideas and stuff. But he basically says, just don't do what we did. Like,
yeah, don't throw money away into the audience.
Throw the money, burn the money. He's like, just don't burn the money. Yeah. Don't burn the money.
But also the thing with the throwing of the money was I'd heard that they threw their entire show fee. But then he told us it was only 700 quid. So I feel like things get exaggerated in history.
Yeah.
It's still a crazy idea.
Don't let, truth get in the world in the way of myth. No, yes. let the myth grow. And
I just ruined the island. Yeah, ruined it for somebody.
It's documented.
It's still shocking to throw money at the audience. So maybe you can throw like a $20 bill to the
just a
and
bit.
They're like, yeah, sure.
Some coins.
People getting hit. A lot of people that like this kind of story is not like the only one that has happened to you. A lot of like famous people have come to you like, you're crazy, I love you, we love your music. Who is the person that you have been more starstruck to discover that they enjoy your music?
Probably still got to be Bono, you know. He still sends us flowers and sends me birthday letters and stuff. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, I think when we were watching him in Melbourne like way back in the day, just when we were sort of first meeting those guys, and I think on stage in the arena he said something like, "Here comes Janet Platt."
No, he's like, "Shout out to Janet." The song goes out to Janet Platt. And I was like, looked around, and then his assistants were filming me and they were like laughing. And I was like, I was like, "It was about me?" And they're like, "Yeah."
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Yeah, that was quite surreal.
Did you get the famous Bono talk?
I got a lot of, him talking about creativity. I remember us like sitting out like on, like, where was it? In the gutter, drinking margaritas. And then him just being like, you know, like, the music industry and blah blah, and creation is like this and
she obviously remembers a lot of that chat.
Yeah, I don't remember anything. I was wasted.
But still, it's a very handy number to have in case, you know, sometimes we can't get our instrument through customs, and so just call Bono.
He'll
call the president of that country. Release the materials, the merch. No, who had trouble with their merch getting over through Brexit? You've got all that problem now.
That's a good idea.
I'm making you do like the name dropping thing. Sorry, because I will continue.
It was going somewhere.
If you had to do like the kind of thing that they say, dream blood rotation, but party guest, ideal situation, because you're party experts, as we know, who would you put on the list?
Dream blood rotation.
Cardi B.
Cardi B.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, Rihanna, Grace Jones.
Yes.
Maybe David Attenborough.
Oh, good one.
Great left field.
Differentiate.
Yeah, that's probably like, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one.
And you. And both of you.
You're bringing a very necessary, incredibly high amount of hedonism, party starting, to a festival at a time when we really need a break from our weariness of the world. We're all a little bit depressed from what we see on social media. And it's thanks to, you know, bands like you, Charlie's Brat, even LCD Sound System, you know, all those things, we revere them more than ever. In your own words, what is motivating you to not drop the ball and keep going even harder and making the BPMs go faster and just like working even harder, touring relentlessly? What is it that keeps you motivated?
Well, I think like we just really love it, like, which is like the main thing you need, because if you want to keep going for years and years, you need to love it. And we're just having so much fun, and like, I don't know, just like the writing feels better than ever. And yeah, it's like,
I think as well, like when we were in America, we were playing some like weird small cities, and I just like kind of saw like the queer community like turn up, like, you know, and it was just really cool, because I was like, we're playing these weird places where these kids don't have this opportunity to see this kind of music in a space that feels safe for them. And I just remember like we walked off stage and there wasn't even that many people at the show. There was like 150 people at the show or something. But it just felt really special. And I remember us being like, we're like...
You're tearing up.
Yeah. It actually was sick. And I was like, I'm just so stoked to be able to like bring this happiness to these people.
Yeah, deliver the happiness. Like if we can do that and make people feel better in this, you know, messed up world right now. It's like, that's amazing.
Has any of you like had a down moment where the other one had to leave the other app, or maybe both of you had, like, to me it feels like a bit difficult, like, to imagine if I had to be on party mode like every day as my job, because sometimes when you do what you love as your job, maybe you can get burned out, or or have you managed to not get into those places where you're maybe more like
we,
on the
we outside? Do look, we do look after each other a lot. Like even me this morning, my laser beams weren't working and I had a massive fit about it, and then he was sitting there cuddling me. It's pretty cute. Like we are like a little family, the three of us. So
yeah, just like look after each other, and like and also like as I was saying before, like you do get better at like pacing yourself and like knowing when you can pop off and when you need to sort of like prepare for what's coming up. So yeah, I think we've sort of got better at that as time goes on.
Yeah.
The title of, the title of the album 3am makes a reference to the fact that you found the creative sweet spot, and it's like when you're best at 3am when you're making music together, you know, in your house. Is London inspiring? Are you finding places at night and stuff where, because I imagine you draw inspiration from going out clubbing as well. What's London? Because we hear these reports that clubs are closing down, lots of places are losing licenses, the underground is kind of getting suffocated. Are there still places where you can get like interesting ideas, idea inputs?
Yeah, I think like just like being in a city and like living there, like, you know, just day to day, even like in the day walking down the street, like it's exciting to be in a big place where there's lots of young people doing fun things. And even though like it is like really hard times for like smaller venues, like, you know, like people always find a way, and like there's always new things popping up, there's things closing down, but there's always like new things arising as well. So like, yeah, it just feels like it's really a great spot to be in right now. Like there's lots of fun stuff going on.
One thing about Confidence Man is your humor. And you like to play with people and not letting them know things and playing with your answers and being on the gray area about stuff. And your fans always like have a sign or ask you like, are you siblings or dating? And that's, I think I have to ask, are you siblings or dating today? Maybe tomorrow will change. But how are you feeling today, Confidence Man?
Yes, we aren't.
Exactly, you are. Yes, you aren't.
Yeah. No, yeah.
No.
You will never know.
Keep them guessing. Keep them guessing. And what? Another thing that I imagine as a source of a moment of pride was having King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard remix one of your songs on 5 a.m. Obviously, they're Australian heroes. What was that like? I'd like to ask about them and Tame Impala even further back, who Kevin Parker played yesterday. He did a DJ set surprise.
Oh, I heard about that.
That was just, it wasn't even on the lineup. It was just announced 2 days ago.
Ah, cool.
So what was it like having two Australian artists or bands that you're that make people proud to be Australian?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, we go way back with the Giz guys. Like they're from Melbourne. Like they actually stole our sound guy for a while.
Oh,
we'll never forget that.
Who's
like, Sam Joe?
Sam Joe,
if you're watching this,
how dare you? No, but you know, like we're all kind of Melbourne kids, and kind of, you know, we're around each other a lot. But you know, it's really cool. Like there is definitely a big kind of like feeling of community in like the Australian music scene. Like every time I see like Amel and the Sniffers somewhere, like we always hang out together, like stuff like that. So there's definitely a sense of pride around it.
Yeah, yeah. Like I think like that musical world, like it's a very Aussie sort of sound psyche world, and like it's cool sort of crossing the dance into that world a bit and like cross-pollinating those things.
Yeah, I think they would have had fun doing that remix. I think they probably would have been like, what is this? Is dance music? What is this? It's the one thing they haven't fully done yet, so.
Yeah, next album. Are they going dance? Who knows?
They actually did say they were going to go dance for a while, but I haven't seen it yet.
They've dabbled. They've dabbled with electronics in their way.
In their
wizard ways.
Well, I think we have time for one last question, which is a bit like, I don't know if at this time you just came out of the soundcheck, you have like the fresh mind for that question, but you like to play with, like I was saying, with answering questions in a funny way or a humorous way. Is there a question that no one has dared to ask you, but you're dying to answer?
Oh,
it's a difficult one. That's why I was saying, like, maybe like being right now on the spot. I feel like
if we even answer this, we're shooting ourselves in the foot, offering up the one question we don't want.
You don't want to be asked that, so now.
No, we do want to be asked.
Oh yeah, we do want to be asked. Do you want to get a drink? I mean, that's always a nice question.
Are you single?
What's your phone number?
He is single. Yeah.
We can. Do you want a drink? Actually, guys, we can get a drink now.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thought you'd never ask.
Perfect question to finish this interview. We will see you let's check again at 1:50 at the Amazon stage, and we will continue here interviewing a few people during the day. So check the Twitch out, check our YouTube channel. We're live, and see you around. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.